First Sunday of Advent. And yes, our theme is hope. Hope is one of those words which seems to mean one thing to some and yet something totally different to others. It seems to mean one thing in a biblical sense. Read your Advent guide this week, this first week, every devotion writing is about hope. And yet, it's often defined by our world in a totally different way. I often hear the word hope, and I even use the word hope in terms of a wishful thinking or great desire. For example, I hope Baylor smears, totally annihilates Oklahoma Sooners next Saturday. Griff made me this wonderful green and gold bracelet. Thanks, Griff. I hope that Oklahoma travel trailer turns over again and no one gets hurt. What a mascot, a little mobile trailer. I hope that Dan and Katie's baby has Katie's hair. I hope and pray Dan and Katie's baby has Katie's hair. I hope all these college kids here today realize that finals begin in about a week. And I hope Emily Jordan makes me some fudge all 4 weeks of Advent. And I hope it snows on Christmas Eve after we finish our carols, candles, and communion service. Hope. The biblical hope, the hope we find in God's Word, is not some fragile, flimsy wish. Biblical hope is much deeper than a simple desire. Biblical hope indicates a confidence we have in God. Our hope is built on faith in God, faith in His gift, the gift of His Son, Jesus Christ. Biblical hope is bold. Biblical hope is strong. Biblical hope is true. Biblical hope is a foundational truth, and it's a promise of Advent. For in Christ's first coming, hope was born. And in the second Advent, hope will be totally consummated. The great writer that I quote often, Henry Nouwen, was once asked, "Dr. Nouwen, are you a pessimist or an optimist?" Dr. Nouwen said, "Really neither. I am one who holds to hope. I live in hope. You might call me a hopist." A hopist. On this first Sunday of Advent, surrounded with friends and family in this sanctuary, let's be honest, it's pretty easy to be filled with hope. And yet I submit that hopelessness is too real. And it's been so since the very beginning of time. Hopelessness is even present, I think, this morning for some in the pew, perhaps for many. Yes, throughout the ages, there have been great periods of hopelessness throughout the Scriptures, Old Testament and New Testament. We see periods in life when hope seems to vanish. Surely Adam and Abraham knew of hopelessness, as did Noah and Moses and Jacob and Joseph. Even King David and Solomon in all of their glory saw periods in their life when hope disappeared. The Old Testament prophets, Jeremiah, Isaiah, Amos, Hosea, every one of those had major moments of their life filled with hopelessness. In the New Testament, after the glorious and miraculous resurrection of Jesus, the days that followed, the closest ones to Jesus, His 12, were filled not with hope, but hopelessness. And the Apostle Paul, He could have written a best-selling book, start a church, lose all hope. Every church, he could have said, start a church, lose your religion. Hopelessness. But what about us today, our day? This week, I wanted to be a real modern pastor. Our staff members constantly remind me that I'm so much older than they and think so differently that I use a legal pad and they don't, and yada, yada, yada. So I decided that I would be very modern. Now, look for our great contemporary illustration on hope. So I spent half a morning on the computer looking through YouTube, movie clips. I even went to a website with nothing but movie clips, and I was ready to impress you. And after several hours looking, I was filled with greater hopelessness than ever. I found a video. I typed in hope, and here's the video. Ho, 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 hopeless. Santa Claus loses it all in a bad real estate deal, and he tries to win it back in a poker game, but he goes bust. I Googled sermon on hope. The first one that showed up was a 55-minute sermon entitled Hopeless in Jerusalem. I'm not listening to any sermon for 55 minutes. So the next one in line, sermons on hope, was Cure for Hopelessness, 3 Simple Steps. That sounds like a recipe for disaster. So I said, forget hopeless. Forget hope. And I Googled in hopeless. And the first entry, I couldn't make this up. The first entry under hopeless from Google, hopeless romantic Hallmark movies. Oh, I gagged. I give up, but this I know. In the midst of doing life in Lufkin, many every day live with a sense of hopelessness. The problems you and I encounter are not comical at all, but they're immense and at times overwhelming. On Thanksgiving Day, all of us ate more than we should, I am certain, and even Friday. And perhaps there was no one, perhaps, I want to believe, in Angelina County who on Thanksgiving Day was hungry, but now 3 days past, there are those in our own community who wonder what they will eat tomorrow. Hopeless. Seeing our students here today, so many are off in college, and the statistics of students in teenage suicide, this very day, over 3,000 United States teenagers in this country will attempt suicide. The second largest killer of teens, suicide. Teens that just feel hopeless. Someone 2 weeks ago said, you know, if we wanted to really bring our country together, what we need is a war. War always brings us together. War is hell. There's nothing good about any war, any place. Hopeless. The home, the family, and chaos. Gun violence in schools, in malls, in churches, in synagogues, in homes. Do you know that every Sunday when we meet, we have 3 probably armed men guarding our church during this hour? Who would have thought that on Sunday morning at First Baptist Lufkin that we would require security protecting us? Political angst, political anger, Democrats versus Republicans, red versus blue, people versus president, president versus media, no trust, no compromise, no civility, no end. Hopelessness. But wait, I hope no one left on the first part of this sermon. It's Advent. And did you hear the scriptures this morning? The Apostle Paul wrote in the text that Stephanie read, Romans 15, verse 13. May the God of hope fill you with all joy and all peace as you trust in Him, so that you may overflow with hope by the power of the Holy Spirit. May the God of hope, that's our prayer, may the God of hope fill us with joy and with peace as we overflow with hope, not by our power, but by the power of the Holy Spirit. Paul earlier in chapter 5 of Romans said those words that are familiar to us. Therefore, since we have been justified through faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ, through whom we have gained access by faith into this grace in which we can now stand. And we boast in the hope of the glory of God. Not only so, but we glory even in our sufferings, because we know that suffering produces perseverance. Perseverance produces character, and character, hope, and hope does not disappoint. Hope does not put us to shame, because God's love has been poured out into our hearts through the Holy Spirit whom He has given us. Hope does not disappoint. Hope is not wishful thinking. Hope is not this fantasy daydream that someday our ship will come in. Hope is based on the promises of God. Hope is based on God Himself. The writer of Hebrews said, with strong encouragement, seize the hope that is set before you. Peter said, we've been born to a new and living hope through our Lord Jesus Christ. And the Old Testament prophet Zechariah said, return to God, you prisoners of hope. Each year when I preach on hope, I find myself going back to an illustration of John Maxwell, who wrote the book Think on These Things. Concerning hope, Maxwell said this, hope shines brightest when the hour is the darkest. Hope motivates when discouragement comes. Hope energizes when the body is tired. Hope sweetens when bitterness bites. Hope sings when all melodies are gone. Hope believes when evidence is eliminated. Hope listens for answers when no one is talking. Hope climbs over obstacles when no one is helping. Hope endures hardships when no one is caring. Hope smiles confidently when no one is laughing. Hope reaches for answers when no one is asking. Hope presses toward victory when no one is encouraging. Hope brings the victory when no one is winning. Hope dares to give when no one is sharing. Hope wins. Hope wins. Hope wins. Oh, church, my hope is not enlightened, nor is it extinguished based on what I read in the Lufkin Daily News or even the evening news. My hope is not propelled, nor is it put out based on CNN, MSNBC, FOX, or even ESPN. My hope, Advent hope, looks at the facts and looks at God's promises, and without denying the facts and without turning away from the difficult issues of this world, my hope lives out a vision of life based on the promises of God, trusting in this benevolent, compassionate, all-powerful God who is still alive, who is so real, even when I don't see Him. Even when I refuse to acknowledge Him or feel Him, God is still sovereign God. Hope. Advent. Hope. During this Advent season, we will gather. We will light a candle. A candle of hope. Candles have always symbolized hope. Regardless of how much darkness there is, darkness will never put out that light. But rather that light, the light, will overcome the darkness. To light this first candle of Advent, the candle of hope, is to say in the face of the world, maybe in spite of the world, that our God lives, that Jesus Christ is the light of the world, and because of that life, that light and that life, hope lives. For hope does not disappoint us, Scripture says. And we rejoice in the hope of the glory of God. We sang the words to the prophet Isaiah's words. They're good words for Advent. Even youths grow tired and weary, and young men stumble and fall. But those who hope in the Lord will renew their strength. They will soar on wings like eagles. They will run and not grow weary. They will walk and not faint. Thanks be to God for Advent. We need these weeks. Thanks be to God for hope. Advent hope. Do you have that hope? It's yours. Claim the hope of God today. Shall we pray? God, we need hope. We Google hope and hopelessness abounds. We look around us. We each see examples of hopelessness, but may others look at us and see Christ in us. And may others see the hope that we have, the hope we live in. We don't deny the facts of reality, of pain and heartache and stuff. But through it all, there's hope. Not just a wish. Not just a flimsy, fragile wish, but real hope that came in the form of a baby that changed our world. It still changes our lives. Oh God, let us live in that hope. Is my prayer in Christ's name. Amen.